Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Mix and match 1 pound strawberries or 6 ounce blueberries, raspberries, or blackberries for $2.99 each when you buy three. Take advantage of this exclusive digital deal. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast Untrimmed Twin Pack, $3.97 per pound, limit one package. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
What?
One of the things that we find kind of interesting around here in St. Louis when it comes to the fires in L.A. is that pink flame retardant that's being used by these crews out there in very impressive ways to create the fire lines and make sure that these fires don't spread. Well, it comes from a St. Louis company. It's former Monsanto Chemical, but it's Perimeter Solutions. We have one of the leaders over there is going to join us and talk about this. Brian Ping from KNX in Los Angeles will also join us a little bit later. The good news is the winds have been really bad. That's the bad news. But the good news is the fires have not gotten out of control. And I'm pretty sure, unless something's changed in the last 4 hours, we'll ask Brian this a little bit later, at about 5 o'clock Pacific time, so around 7 o'clock our time, the winds are just supposed to go flat and really, really disappear out there. And then start to come in the next few days from the ocean, which is good news. So we'll get an update on that as we move along. We also have an audio cut of the day coming up here in just a little while. Right now, the Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey is back with us on this Wednesday evening. Andrew, how are you? Welcome back.
Hey, Mark, doing well. Thanks for having me on. It's been a cold couple of days here in mid-Missouri, but exciting Monday with inauguration here at the state capitol. And, you know, the leadership team taking over here in Jeff City is energized, ready to work together to serve the people of the state of Missouri.
Yeah, we'll get to all that in a second. Let's talk about something more important. The Tigers taking out Florida last night in Gainesville. Epic. How about that?
Epic. M-I-Z.
C-O-U. That was amazing. I don't know if you had a chance to watch, but that was like an NCAA tournament game last night.
It was. It had that intensity. And, you know, to be able to pick up a road win in the SEC against a top 10 team, I mean, that's absolutely incredible. We've got two of those quad one wins now against KU, which means more than any other one, but also against Florida. And again, you know, if we can just defend the home court and snag a couple of those road wins, we got to be a tournament team, right?
I think so. And then, you know, the listeners out there who are maybe Illinois fans and things along those lines won't appreciate this, but I have to at least touch on one more topic because we picked up a hell of a defensive end last night as well, a kid that was going to go to maybe Ohio State. It was another Georgia player. So the football program looking pretty good, too.
Yeah, you're right. And that is I think he's a defensive end, if I'm remembering correctly.
Yeah.
And the kid's got, you know, it's a former highly rated recruit coming out of high school, played at Georgia. I think he featured to be, predicted to be one of their starters on the defensive line next year. So to be able to get, you know, football players here at Missouri from some of those top tier programs means that we're moving up in the world. And that's a good thing for Tigers.
Yeah, Damon Wilson is that kid's name. It's awesome. All right, we got that out of the way. That's always fun for you and I to talk about. Here was Senator Eric Schmidt, your predecessor today in the United States Senate.
As a former state attorney general myself, I can vouch for the deep experience that Pam Bondi has developed from serving in that role. As the chief law enforcement official in her state, she worked with local prosecutors to fight crime, work to protect our constitutional rights, or the constitutional rights of Floridians, by taking on abuses of power.
Andrew, I guess you might know Pam Bondi a bit as well, do you?
I do. I've met Pam and talked to her on the phone a couple times. I'm here to tell you, President Trump has just picked some incredible, incredible individuals to serve in his cabinet, and they're on display this week. And I think the world of Pam Bondi, and I'm telling you, we are in good hands. She's going to reform the DOJ, restore credibility to our criminal justice system instead of mollycoddling Soros-backed prosecutors and weaponizing government to go against political opponents. I mean, I am really, really excited for the Senate to get on with that confirmation, because we need her at that helm at DOJ and getting to work for us and for President Trump, and I'm excited to see that happen.
I don't often really monitor CNN, but because of the fires, I've been checking them out a little bit more. And when I took my daughter to school this morning, they were talking about the horror of, you know, the possibility that Pam Bondi might weaponize the Justice Department. Are you kidding me? Have they not paid any attention to the last 4 years?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, they don't want it done to them, but they've been doing it for years now. And so, you know, my sense of it is based on Pam Bondi's history and acumen and ability that she's committed to the rule of law and justice for all. She cares about supporting law enforcement and holding wrongdoers accountable. And she cares about protecting the institution from those kind of political attacks that you've seen the left conduct for the last 4 years.
Andrew Bailey is with us, the Attorney General of Missouri. You've been very active on the, protecting female sports, the issue with trans athletes. You've worked with Riley Gaines, who's super impressive on this. The House has passed a bill protecting female sports, but you got to love that. This is AOC going off on this.
And why? To open up gender and, yes, genital examinations into little girls in this country in the so-called name of attacking trans girls. And to that, today, what we have to say are two words, not today.
I would say one word. I'd say today. And this whole thing with genital inspections, have you picked up on that talking point? It's nonsense.
It's absolute nonsense. She's a moron, and she's done more to harm the legislative body of the United States of America than anyone since her friend Cori Bush served in that body. But I'll say this, this is about protecting young girls from sexual predators who want to enter their restrooms and harm them. And as a former prosecutor, I myself prosecuted the leading case in the state of Missouri on trespass first, where a convicted sex offender had entered a female restroom and was hiding an assault. Now, why was he doing that? To try to create another victim. And we prosecuted him and sent him to prison, and it was affirmed in the Missouri courts, and it's now the leading case on trespass first. And I'm proud of the work that I've done as a prosecutor and as attorney general to protect women and girls, to protect their sports, to protect their ability to use the restroom or a locker room without being harassed by males. I mean, it's common sense. And look, the worm has turned on this issue. The United States of America, public opinion is not with AOC and the Looney Tunes on this issue.
Not even close. And then, the irony of AOC and a bunch of the other progressives up there talking about how, this is going to be genital inspection and it's going to harm young girls. What about the harm to young women all across the country, including Riley Gaines and some of her teammates?
Yeah, and go ask the parents of that school district in Loudoun County, Virginia, what they think about stuff like this. I mean, that you saw a sea change in the political dynamic in one county that really reverberated across the nation and led to the election of Governor Glenn Youngkin, largely because government officials like AOC that were similarly aligned and thought the same way as AOC were not paying attention to the parents who were seeking to protect their daughters.
Andrew, I thought about you last week when Scott Fitzgerald released the audit of Kim Gardner's office, and you couldn't have been that shocked by the findings, because a lot of that you were aware of. We were trying to highlight that. It makes me even more angry, I'll be honest with you, with the Supreme Court of Missouri for not pulling her law license.
Yeah, look, I mean, we knew, obviously, that she was taking nursing classes. It was an investigator from my office who uncovered that evidence and had trailed her and documented a lot of that evidence. And so that was all part of the quo warranto action that we filed to remove her from office. And again, I go back to 2 years ago, and it feels like a lifetime ago. But that was, that was within the first 45 days of me taking office. We filed that lawsuit and uncovered a lot of that evidence. And I would say that chapter has not been fully concluded. There's more to be written there. And she certainly has additional liability points on her professional licensure. And she has a duty of truthfulness to the public and to the court system. I don't believe she's lived up to that standard. And then I also think that there's potential civil liability. Did she waive sovereign immunity by exceeding the scope of her statutory authority and not fulfilling her legal statutory obligations? And so, I just feel like that's not over yet.
Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey is with us, and you are starting your new term here, the first full term as Attorney General, because you were an appointee. So any different goals or changes for this term?
You know, keep fighting and winning for Missourians. We have done so much in 2 years. I'm re-energized, recharged, ready to go. If you look at my first year in office, and Mark, this is something that, you know, you and I don't usually talk about, because over the last 2 years, President Biden and Kamala Harris tried to run this country in the ground, and we had so much offensive firepower directed at preventing that from happening. But one of the things we did in the first year I was in office, my Consumer Protection Division, which by statute I'm the consumer watchdog for the people of the state of Missouri to protect working Missouri families from predatory and deceptive business practices, we recovered $32 million in settlements and judgments on behalf of working Missouri families in year one. Last year, 2024, my second year in office, north of $400 million in settlements and judgments on behalf of the state of Missouri and working Missouri families. So that's a real impact to everyday folks, and we're going to continue to do that and add efficiencies to that system and keep getting better at that, even though we've set records with that. You know, we increased criminal prosecution by 133% the first year I was in office. We've got more work there to do to support Governor Kehoe's vision for, you know, reinforcing the criminal justice system and holding wrongdoers accountable. And I'm keenly interested in continuing to fight the censorship regime that we see in big tech social media. I think social media oligarchs have monopolized control over censorship algorithms, and it's harming consumers. So we have authority at the state level to use consumer protection laws to go after that issue, and we intend to do so.
Yeah, you kind of reminded me of another topic with Zuckerberg kind of doing an about face on, you know, the fact checkers. And I don't know if you read the piece, you're probably familiar with the story, but Margie Conklin was on my show a couple of nights ago, and she wrote a piece for the Free Press about what happened to her story about the Wuhan lab, you know, in the early days. This was in February of 2020. And of a sudden she's watching the web traffic as she wrote this for the New York Post, and she sees it completely die, like someone had just pressed a button. Well, they kind of had, because the Facebook so-called fact checkers were at play there. And that kind of stuff is getting exposed now.
Yeah, it's absolutely going to be exposed. And why is it that consumers can't choose their own algorithms? Why is it that if we buy a product, we can't choose the accessories we want to go with that product? Imagine if Ford sold you a pickup truck and you could never put a new motor in it. You had to use Ford's motor, even if you didn't agree with the performance of that particular motor. You couldn't swap it out. I mean, it doesn't make sense. Why do we accept that in this marketplace, but in no other marketplace?
Well, lots of changes forthcoming, certainly with this administration. We're going to have some debates about some of this. Are you heading to the inauguration on Monday or not?
You know what? I am still finalizing travel plans. I got a lot of travel next week. We're also going to be out in Las Vegas for SHOT Show, one of the biggest Second Amendment gatherings in the United States of America. So excited about that. Excited about President Trump's inauguration. And it's going to be a busy few weeks. A lot of work to do on behalf of the people.
Well, wait a second here. What's in Las Vegas, and when will you be there?
Yeah, I'll be out there at the tail end of next week. That's for SHOT Show. It's one of the largest, pro Second Amendment gatherings in the United States of America. Have the privilege of speaking on a panel out there.
Nice.
About gun rights and Second Amendment rights and the work we're doing here in the state of Missouri to protect them.
Well, I bring it up because I coordinated poorly. I'm heading to, it's kind of my second home, Las Vegas, these days, and I'm heading out there this weekend and coming back on Monday afternoon. But have a great time. I love Las Vegas. Unfortunately, you know what sucks, and I'm going to get no empathy. I've gotten no empathy from the crew here in the studio. It's going to be like 58 degrees here in St. Louis on Friday. Pretty much the same thing in Las Vegas, which, you know, I can't really show off with the warm temperatures. Andrew Bailey, always great. Congratulations on taking the oath for the new term, MIZZOU. Thank you, Andrew. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Mark. All the best to you.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV Plus.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Always a success story when I get Sue Thomas to react to the bumper music, that's for sure. A little James Taylor on this Wednesday.
Whenever I see your smiling face, I have to smile myself.
Oh man, we need something to put us in a good mood, because it has been stressful, certainly in the Los Angeles area. I think we have good news, though. These winds are going to die down in a couple hours. Brian Ping, our friend from here in St. Louis, who is an anchor and a reporter at KNX in Los Angeles, will join us here in a few minutes with the update. The winds have been really, really whipping up, but they have not had any fires spread out of control. So that's good news, although I don't think they're out of the woods until about 90 minutes from now. But we'll keep you posted with Brian in just a few minutes. And then one of the things we learned yesterday, I guess maybe I should have known this, but the pink or red flame retardant that's being used to help really contain these fires is a product that is from Perimeter Solutions, which is here in Clayton. It's the former Monsanto and then Solution. Jeff Emery is with us. He's the president of Global Fire Safety with Perimeter. Hi, Jeff. How are you? I'm guessing you've been pretty busy here the last week.
We have. I don't know if I can top James Taylor, but thanks for having me today, Mark.
Well, thank you for coming on. We thought it was interesting because our friend Paul Ross mentioned that this was, you know, a connection to St. Louis. And look, I've admitted this to the audience, Jeff. I've been just glued and addicted to watching some of this coverage. And I watched a lot on Saturday when these planes and helicopters were doing some amazing things with water dumps and with the retardant. So the product is not made here in St. Louis, though, correct?
It's not made here, but we are headquartered in St. Louis in Clayton, and we have been a St. Louis, you know, member of the St. Louis community going on 60 years, going all the way back to our roots in Monsanto.
So that flame retardant has been that long then?
It has. We've been delivering aerial fire retardants into the Forest Service and other customers around the world now for 61 years. We celebrated our 60th year of our first qualified product back in 2023.
Is there an easy way to explain what's in the retardant?
It actually is quite simple, and especially for, you know, there's a lot of agriculture in Missouri. The primary component of the retardant is essentially a fertilizer. It's ammonium phosphate, and that ammonium phosphate is a very unique mechanism when it's used for these applications. And it's essentially a chemical reaction. You combine the ammonium phosphate, you coat it onto a wood surface, a vegetation, and when that's introduced to fire, it actually creates a carbon char around that wood material that prevents it from burning. And so it's a really unique, it's a unique product that's different from using water or foams or other types of products to just directly cool the fire, in that it actually stops that vegetation from being able to burn. And that's the magic of it. And our product is called FrostCheck. We add a couple other things. The pink or red coloring, pinkish red coloring, is actually a fugitive red that is used by the pilots to be able to see exactly where that line is on the ground to make sure there's not an even little bit of an opening that the fire can sneak through afterwards. And it actually fades away over a month or two after exposure to UV rays.
You know, there's not a lot of light levity moments coming out of Los Angeles, but I always read the LA Times, but I've been tracking their coverage, and there was a line from one of the firefighters, and I think it was maybe a reporter, where they were covering the story, and the firefighter kind of laughed and said, well, you just got painted, because some of the stuff is landing on people. I don't think it harms them, but I thought that was kind of a funny comment. Do you have enough of this stuff, considering how much demand there is in LA right now?
We do, and one of the unique things about our world is you never know at any given time or in any given place around the world where those fires are going to start. And so we prepare every single year for the busiest possible year. We carry an incredible amount of inventory to be ready to go for any type of situation that might unfold. And honestly, when the fires came up in LA, we obviously had to be very proactive about getting our teams on the ground in the right locations at the right bases. But we were ready to go, and this is a day at the office for us. And, you know, what you've seen over the last week has really probably put on full display what the Perimeter Solutions team and the aerial firefighting industry in general does every day during the fire season.
Is this a product that most fire departments across the country like have or have access to? Or is it really just specialized for these big fires and wildfires?
You know, this is used predominantly for wildfires. Historically, almost all of our business was west of the Mississippi. And over the last, I'd say, 5 to 10 years, that started to change. I mean, you have a year this year where there were major fires in parks in New York City and New Jersey and areas like that. And so it's forcing the entire fire services community to start thinking differently about how they can use it. And not only can this product be used in the air, we apply a lot of it on the ground for more precise applications. We were on the ground in areas that maybe the fire hadn't reached, going out and doing preventative work at those homeowners' locations. We protected schools, shopping centers with the product on the ground ahead of that fire reaching it, so that in case the fire blew that way, they'd have an extra level of protection. And you're starting to see more and more agencies, fire departments, municipal departments, counties, starting to consider the use of this as fires start to become more prevalent in wider areas of the geography across the country.
Can you just, and I don't know this, can you dump it on, you know, structures, homes, schools, stuff like that, or not? Is it just around them?
We would typically put it around them and certainly coat the vegetation around there so it prevents the area close to it from burning. We would like to keep a perimeter just like we do around the fire itself. We don't tend to put this product on the fire.
Right.
We put it around the fire, and we try to create a perimeter that's going to, we call that indirect attack. It's so that when the fire gets to it, it's already there. It's ready to do its job of slowing down the fire and letting the firefighters on the ground have that level of safety to do the work. But that same premise applies when we're painting around HOA communities or critical infrastructure. We've got many examples over time. We use this for bridges around rail and roadsides where they might be prone to new starts. So it's a good tool. And the interesting thing about it is it doesn't require water. We have areas where we know it's not going to rain during the summer, especially in California. You have a whole dry period. We can put this down on a roadside at the beginning of the season. 3 months later, it's just as effective as day you put it down.
Wow. Well, there might be some questions in the aftermath of all this as far as why more of that wasn't used. Jeff Emery is the president of Global Fire Safety at Perimeter Solutions. Thanks so much. You know, one of the things I've said, Jeff, in the last week is as horrifying and as many questions as we have, what happened in Altadena and Palisades, et cetera, these crews have been unbelievable to watch, such heroics, and they're applying this product in very professional and expertise and very precise ways. So thank God that's happened, because I think these crews, men and women, and all these experts out there have really prevented a lot more damage.
Yeah, the wildland fire crews that are out there do God's work. Every day during the fire season, they're out away from their families, sometimes for months at a time, doing some of the hardest work imaginable in really, really challenging conditions. And the passion that they have, that they show to be able to protect communities is hard to put into words. And everybody's seen it on full display. And quite honestly, the mission of Perimeter Solutions is really focused on protecting those firefighters. That's one of the critical roles that aerial firefighting does. It gives them the time to do their job safely and lowers the intensity of the fire to allow them to stay safe and doing that dangerous job. And everybody in our company shares that mission, including the people that are, you know, working back in Clayton. I want to give a big shout out to that team because they are a big part of that mission on the back end, that back office stuff that has to happen, getting our supply chain in order, helping with those contracts, complex contracts.
Absolutely.
With the government, the finance teams there play just as important role as our teams that are out there at the air bases and out there on the fire ground. And so big shout out to our team in Clayton.
Absolutely. Well, Jeff, you should be very proud. And thank you so much for sharing the information. I'm going to get a little report here on the winds. These crews, you know, have been 12 on, 12 off, and I think they're going to get some rest here with some winds dying down. But Jeff Emery, thank you so much. And we're proud of the St. Louis component here out in Los Angeles.
Thank you, Mark. I appreciate you having me on.
That's really amazing, isn't it?
It is.
And I'm so glad that, you know, Paul Ross put that on our radar, because we were, you know, unaware of that, or I was unaware of that. I'm sure some people might have known that, but that's kind of fascinating. Now, on to L.A., our friend Brian Ping, St. Louis native, KNX Los Angeles. Dude, I've been listening to your station. Like, every time I'm not on the air here, I'm listening to your station trying to get updates. But is there some good news? Are the winds going to die down?
Yeah, they have, Mark, and they have just allowed the wind advisories and what they're calling the particularly dangerous situation, the PDS, to expire. The red flag warning is still in effect for a few more hours because we're just waiting on the winds to change. That's so critical. For the last week and a half since these fires started, they've been of the offshore variety. That means the desert winds coming in from the north and from the east. It's finally going to change to that more traditional sea breeze. That's going to bring a lot of much-needed humidity and moisture to the air, which is going to kick some of this dry air out.
Are you kind of amazed here? We spoke a couple of days ago. Are you amazed that this has not gotten out of control again? Because those winds were really whipping through some of those areas today.
We were very fortunate. We were just kind of waiting with bated breath to see what was going to spark up overnight and early into the morning, and much of us woke up relieved that that was not the case, and we're just kind of watching for hot spots within the burn zones. It looks like it's just patrol right now to put out anything that might flare up, but looks like the immediate fire danger is over, and just waiting until what we're now told is late Sunday night. That's going to be the next round of Santa Anas, but in the meantime, at least we can have a bit of a sigh of relief. Of course, well, the poor folks who lost everything, they won't get to have any relief anytime soon. In fact, many of them are still not going to be allowed back into their homes for some time being because they've got to continue to clear things like down power lines and broken gas lines, things like that.
I was listening when I was driving into CanX, and I can't remember, the mayor of one of the communities out there was talking about the fact that, you know, they did not get severely damaged by fires, no homes taken down, but for a week, he still hasn't had any power or even gas to his home. So he said cold showers, no Wi-Fi, obviously. These are the things that we take for granted. So even if you're not directly affected by the fires, some of these folks have been either evacuated or they have no power or gas at their home, Brian.
Yeah, there have been major quality of life issues popping up for so many people beyond the immediate fire zone because they've done these preemptive outages. So many of our wildfires are started by power lines that spark that get knocked down, and they're live because, you know, we haven't really buried any of our utility or power lines, which is unfortunate. So when you have a wind event like this and those lines are live, it could start a fire. But what they're doing is they're preemptively putting tens of thousands of people in the dark and with no word as to when they'll be back online. And same goes for gas customers, at least 16,000. It takes days, if not weeks, to get that all back up to speed.
Remind me, Brian, you know I have a 10-year-old daughter. How many children do you have?
I have one. She turns six tomorrow.
Can you even imagine this? I want to talk about schools because I've been thinking about this. How would you talk to your kids about things that are happening? You have a lot of people in the Palisades and elsewhere. Their kids' school doesn't even exist. How are they addressing that issue out there?
Yeah, it's a really a tough question for parents to have to address with their kids. I mean, something that's so immediate like a fire, that's something everyone notices. It's not like some sort of, you know, complicated, news story that might be hard for a parent to decipher in a language children can understand. Yeah. I mean, this is real. It's immediate. Even, the youngest child knows the danger that a fire poses. So it's just a matter of resilience. And if you have young kids, as you know, Mark, kids are resilient. So they just have to roll with it. A lot of schools in the Pacific Palisades reopened in other sites. I should say, well, they didn't reopen, but the kids went back to school at relocated sites, just trying to get back to some kind of normalcy.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. I didn't even know if they were back in school in some way, shape, or form, because I really hadn't heard that. And that's good. But that, you know, wow, what's the long term for that, right?
Yeah, I mean, well, Pacific Palisades, some of these buildings were just completely destroyed. So they're going to have to move forward. I understand that the high school, Palisades Charter High School, some students are thinking of transferring out. It's going to be a long time before we can sort any of that out.
What a mess. But I guess the good news is that maybe some relief heading here into the weekend, which is good. But thank you for joining us so many times here, Brian, in the past week. And your team there at KNX, they've been kicking butt. I've been listening a lot in the morning, in the evening, and in the afternoon when I'm driving in. So I'll be listening to you tonight if you're on. But thanks for helping us out.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, my teammates, I'm really proud of them. They've really stepped up, and we appreciate you listening.
Well, as a fan of radio, and you know, I've been around radio, I know good radio and radio that's not so good, and I meant even to tell our boss, Steve Moore, that you guys sound great right now. So this is what happens in moments like this. You know, the media has to play a role with information, and, you know, the team at CanX is doing exactly what they needed to do. So, Brian, try to get a little rest. Thank you so much, and we'll talk again soon.
Will do. Thanks,
right,
Mark.
Take care. That, you know, we've been in situations here in St. Louis, and certainly when I'm on the KMOX side, where you have to shift into high gear. But I don't remember since the floods in the 90s, when I was a reporter in mid-Missouri, having to shift into gear into anything that's even close to this level.
Seriously.
For weeks and for devastation like that. I know that folks in Springfield had to do it, right, in Joplin. We've had different issues that have been tornado related, and certainly what's happened with the hurricanes. But wow, this is something else. But the good news is they have relief from the winds, and these fire crews have done their job exceptionally well. We have audio cut of the day, including Jay Leno is out on those lines trying to help people out. That's coming up. Squeeze here, 5:45. You know, one of the things that I meant to talk about with Brian, and we'll just kind of toss this out there as another, I don't even know how you'd refer to this, but there's certainly an issue in Los Angeles right now. Let's think of it this way, Sue. I just told you that a lot of people don't have power. They haven't had power for a week, right? Power outages, because they have to shut the power down. They don't want sparks from, you know, the power lines if right. they get knocked down by the winds. Let's say you have a Tesla out there in Los Angeles right now. How are you getting around? You got to evacuate, of course. You can't evacuate because your EV won't charge.
I didn't even think of that.
Oh, yeah. Yep. It is a big... Now, range anxiety has already been a factor when it comes to, you know, EV sales, but those fires have now added another concern, the inability to charge in a power outage. And, you know, what do you do?
And what do would you do? I don't know.
So I thought that was really interesting. I mean,
is
you got a gas car, you can
that?
Yes. Yeah, the LA Times did a story about it,
believe
it or not.
Okay.
They you know, they're always preaching climate change, blah, 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 but they pointed out that yeah, there's a lot of these do-gooders out there. You know, it was funny because when I used to go on a regular basis, I've pointed this out because I'm an elitist. The movie studios would put me out in Beverly Hills. And there was a time in my life where I decided I was gonna try to run, Sue, like I was running, you know, like jogging.
Yeah.
And I would run through Beverly Hills from my hotel, and it was beautiful, right?
Great place
but it was
to
so
do
funny
it.
Because it was almost like I joked around for a while. It was like a municipal law that if you lived in Beverly Hills, California, you had to have at least one hybrid or EV, and then you could have your gas guzzler too. Because as I ran through those neighborhoods, you'd always see the Prius right next to something fancier,
like
the
Ford
Mercedes
F-150.
Or something like that.
That's
not as many
hilarious.
Trucks, but certainly big six-cylinder cars that they had out there. But that's another issue for folks,
that's
you know,
funny.
With the EVs. A couple of stories here that I wanted to get to, you know, before we wrap up the show, and I do have some audio cut of the day stuff. This is, and I don't know necessarily that I'm very familiar with this former lawmaker, but I thought that the story was interesting. Joe Holloman over at the Post wrote about this. So there's a guy that is the husband of a former representative, Chantel Nixon Clark, who only served one term in the Missouri House from the St. Louis area. I didn't really know anything about her. But the spouse, her spouse, was sentenced to 37 months in prison for all kinds of felonies. So this guy's name is Antonio Jones. He's 51 years old. He was sentenced today in connection with three counts of money laundering, totaling about $310,000. So they originally charged him with seven felonies in a move against a crime ring that is known as the Black Mafia family. Not heard of that. Prosecutors alleged that ring had been involved in the distribution of heroin, cocaine, fentanyl, and meth, weapons violations, pandemic loan, and bank fraud. So they're all over the place. So the operation against the gang resulted in criminal charges against this guy and also 33 other people. He was charged with seven felonies involving more than $1 million in laundered money. He tells the judge, "Everything I've gotten in my life, I earned it. And I earned this. I just want to apologize to my friends and family for putting them in this situation." Now, he said that he was I guess people had described him as a minor participant in all of this. But man, he was just at this for like, I guess, 3 months and had a lot of involvement in this, you know, embezzling money, stealing money. Crime, they say, doesn't pay, right? So in this particular case, I don't think it paid for him because he's going to federal prison for a while. I mentioned Tulsi Gabbard a little bit earlier, you know. And I can use some of this audio now from what happened today on Capitol Hill. It was a great hearing for Pam Bondi, who is the attorney general nominee. She was up there for her confirmation hearings.
"If confirmed, I will do everything in my power, and it will be my great responsibility to make America safe again."
Eric Schmidt, our senator, big fan.
"As a former state attorney general myself, I can vouch for the deep experience that Pam Bondi has developed from serving in that role. As the chief law enforcement official in her state, she worked with local prosecutors to fight crime, worked to protect our constitutional rights, or the constitutional rights of Floridians, by taking on abuses of power."
She did quite well today, although she did get, you know, questions like this from Dick Durbin and others.
"Prepared to say today under oath without reservation that Donald Trump lost the presidential contest to Joe Biden in 2020.
President Biden is the president of the United States. He was duly sworn in, and he is the president of the United States. There was a peaceful transition of power. President Trump left office and was overwhelmingly elected in 2024.
Do you have any doubts that Joe Biden had the majority of votes, electoral votes, necessary to be elected president in 2020?
You know, Senator, all I can tell you as a prosecutor is from my firsthand experience. And I accept the results. I accept, of course, that Joe Biden is president of the United States.
Look, I've never been a stolen election person, but they like, I know there's fraud and there has been fraud, but they're trying to pin her down on some of that. But I mentioned Tulsi Gabbard before I played those sound bites, because there are now, look, I think what's happening here, and this is how I described it earlier. Pete Hegseth's confirmation hearing went exceptionally well yesterday. He's going to get confirmed. He really did well. And I got a great bite from Scott Jennings about that. But there are reports, and even in conservative publications like the Wall Street Journal is reporting that some of the meetings that Tulsi Gabbard has had have not been, you know, altogether that positive. She is the choice to oversee intelligence. She met with James Lankford from Oklahoma, and the reporting says she couldn't articulate what the role of the director of national intelligence entails. But again, some of this reporting, I don't even know. I trust the journal because I like the Wall Street Journal, but it does seem like they're shifting some of the gears to Tulsi Gabbard because it looks like Pete is going to survive. And that kind of brings us to cut of the day, and I'll include a little bit more information about all that here.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
All right. Some of these are on the confirmation hearing. So Jennings did a great job on CNN because they're kind of ripping on Pete for just being someone who's on Fox News.
Yes, he was very articulate and polished, and he's a TV host. That's his main qualification. I know in TV, we sometimes get confused.
Why do you denigrate this man's service? I don't understand. 20 years,
Scott,
decorated.
Okay. Scott,
Ivy Leaguer. He's a TV host. Scott. That's all he is. I don't,
wait
that's
a
not
second.
His main qualification.
That is his name.
He's a TV host. I like TV host.
A lot of yelling and shouting. Jennings is trying to make his point here with the CNN crew.
Not every member who serves deserves to be in charge of the DOD.
She said his main qualification is that he's a TV host, and I'm sorry, that's just baloney.
Do you think he would have been chosen for the job?
Is that he's a warfighter, and he's going to be the closest warfighter we've ever had to the enlisted people running the Pentagon. He's decorated. He's an Ivy Leaguer.
So he stood up for Hegseth and, you know, made this point.
To be clear, Scott, I hear you say that because I remember Pete Hegseth said it. I think you should recall that there have been people who have run the Pentagon who have been in war, even if they are officers, they have been in war. Their service doesn't get to be denigrated either.
I'm not, but I think he's closer to the average enlisted man who has been deployed and deployed and deployed than anybody that's been up
for
this job.
So that's a really good point. I think he does have that you know bond with the enlisted men. Here's what I know. I watched the guy's confirmation hearing. I know a little bit about him. I've never had him on the air, I don't think. Maybe one time we've interviewed him. I know he's been on the station before, but he's very smart. He's very sharp. Can he take on a job like this? I think he can. I was left with no doubt after watching that confirmation hearing. And this is something real, I think, revealing. This is, make sure I'm going to play the right bite here, because Blumenthal was with Pam Bondi this morning, but Richard Blumenthal, who's a Democrat from Connecticut, I guess tried to catch Pete Hegseth in a game of gotcha yesterday. I don't think it worked very well.
How many men and women currently serve in the United States Army?
Senator, the United States Army, 450,000 on active duty, sir.
And how many in the Navy?
And the Navy is 425, sir.
Well, it's 337 this year. How many in the Marine Corps?
175,000, sir.
172,300.
Yeah. Wow.
Those numbers dwarf any experience you had by many multiples.
We don't know what he was saying there.
I think Fred's
Senator
right.
Blumenthal. Fred thought he was basically saying, look, there's so many people in the military, you don't have the capacity to manage all those people, right?
Right.
I have no idea. It didn't seem to work very well. And then there's this. We'll kind of do a little triple play trifecta here. Jay Leno helping people out there in L.A., delivering food, et cetera.
Well, it's so odd because it's 80 degrees. It's a beautiful day. I mean, to have hell and paradise within just a few feet of each other. You know, I mean, you think of Malibu, they name cars after it and perfumes and, oh, it's the sexy people. And now it's like a charred rubble.
I've been praising these firefighters after watching them for the last week. He was, too.
But, you know, I think the L.A. Fire Department is probably the best in the world. It's like a military. You know, I was at in Afghanistan, Bagram Air Force Base. It looked like that. You pull in kind of a hospital area here, men in tents sleeping over there. men and women doing things over here. I mean, they're doing it. They're coordinating with helicopters, and it's a really a military operation on the biggest scale. It's pretty amazing.
I think he's right about that. There you go. That's your audio cut of the day. Kilmeade's going to be with us tomorrow afternoon. Sue, have a great night.
Hey, you too.
Try to stay warm out there.
Get more at 971talk.com.